Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, John.
Blog Talk Radio.
Let me make sure it starts. Okay. What diet do you know when they're coming?
Hello. Welcome to Brain Injury Radio Network. Tonight is our regular Wednesday installment of our program Recovery Now with your host, Kim Justice. If you'd like to know more about my story, you can find it at inaflash.org. I, too, am a fellow traumatic brain injury survivor. I appreciate you tuning in tonight, and as always, I look forward to your input. So now, we'll get on with the show.
Well, hello, and happy hump night from somewhere in Middle America. Hope you guys are all having a good week. We have had a blistering week with hot temperatures and lots of storms, and but today we got a reprieve, and I thank God for that because we're looking at 100, and lots of humidity coming up. And if I know a lot of you are like me, that temperature extremes can be problematic with symptoms that we have. And so keep cool. Make sure you hydrate. And for those of you who have not been here before, Recovery Now is a gathering place for anyone seeking recovery from the challenges of life on life's terms. Guests share their experience, strength, and hope. We discuss useful tools that have helped us lighten the load of our journey through recovery. More will be revealed. This is a we recovery program because it is in the we that we find the new me. We focus on the four A's of recovery: awareness, acceptance, action, and adaptation for survivors striving to become thrivers. And for that, it takes a good bit of warrior. So this month is PTSD Awareness Month. And we've conceded now that there are many ways to incur PTSD. You can, a natural disaster, an assault, domestic abuse. But where we first heard the term and where we think about it most, particularly, well, all the time when we hear the statistic of 22 suicides a day out of our veteran community, is PTSD being associated with military and combat. Yesterday was Flag Day, and so I was thinking a lot about this and then realized that this month, God works in mysterious ways, is to help raise PTSD awareness. So I was watching the news, and I told my guest coming on in just a minute that, you know, we streamed all 50 states and 49 countries. Our hosts are scattered all over the country. And I've been here every week for over 12 years, and I never have guests from my area where I live. And I'm booked into September. But I had someone get a hold of me for tonight who was booked for tonight and needed to reschedule. And I've got a busy couple weeks going on, and happy Father's Day this Sunday to you fathers out there. One of the things coming up. And I was watching the evening news, and I saw a piece, and I knew right away for a number of reasons that I had to reach out and try to find this man, our guest tonight. And when I got to talking to him, he said that, and this is typical of television news, you know, that they spoke to him, I think, for something like 90 minutes, did a 90-minute interview and used, he can correct me, 60 seconds or 90 seconds or whatever it was out of that whole interview on the news. But it was like I told our Friday host, Captain James McCormick, who is now the president of the Gold Star Families Group, when I told him Kevin was going to be my guest tonight and sent him the program notes to listen in. I said, I heard all I needed to in those seconds to know that he deserved a couple hours if he wanted it on the network. All of our shows, of course, are live and they go to on demand, and your voices can be heard forever. Tonight, my guest is Kevin Warhawk Doncaster. He's a United States Marine veteran. He served in Iraq and Afghanistan and has a combined 14 years in service to his country as both a Marine Department of Defense contractor. During those 14 years, he spent 3 years in Iraq and 4 years in Afghanistan. Kevin sustained multiple injuries as a result of his service in the Middle East, some of those being TBI. After coming home for good, Kevin was searching for answers and help for the struggles associated with exposure to war. While he made it home safely, his mind remained at war. Kevin was gifted a fully trained Australian Shepherd as a PTSD service dog. 2 weeks following that special day, a friend died by suicide. Kevin called the same provider and asked one question. How do I do what you did for me, for a lot of people? Kevin decided to take the adversity and turn it into action. Warhawk PTSD Service Dogs was born, and since that time, they've delivered 45 dogs to 18 states. Kevin has ambition to deliver to all 50 states, and his current mission is taking him to New Zealand to deliver a dog to a unit there that served alongside the coalition forces and America in our times of need, combating global terrorism. For more on Kevin, I'm going to be saying his website more than once during the show, warhawkptsdservicedogs.org. And again, for those of you who don't know it, the show is posted all over social media, and I always put the relevant website in my program notes. So if you're not by a pen right now, or you're driving or in the recliner, you don't have to listen to the whole show again to get it. Always in the program notes. You can always find it at my website, inaflash.org, under the tab that says shows, or braininjuryradio.com. And the title of the show is Warhawk Service Dog, Saving Lives. With that, I'm going to bring on Kevin Warhawk Doncaster.
Hey, Kim. Thank you so much for having me on.
Welcome. Well, thank you for your sacrifice and service and everything that you're doing and Semper Fi. I mentioned to Kevin when we talked that my dad, once a Marine, always a Marine, so also a Marine Corps veteran, although he did not do the kind of time that you did. You may get a laugh out of this. We can start out with a little levity. He just missed combat and wound up being the star of the Marine Corps tennis team in Japan. When I was born. And it was with the promise. You see, he and my mom were high school sweethearts all through high school. They were going to be married. I was going to be coming along. And they grew up very poor and wanted more. And so with the promise of the GI Bill, my dad joined the Marines. And they took away the GI Bill while he was there. So he never did get to use that. And it was interesting because I was born while he was gone. And we didn't meet until I was maybe 13 months old. And my mom and I rode a train all the way to Quantico, Virginia. And that's where we started our family back in like 1961. And so interesting journey. He wound up then when he got out coming back and working full-time, going to school full-time, college full-time, and then working full-time as well at night as a bartender, going to school the next day, wound up making it on his own dime through 4 years of college and three, and went off and met the goals that they had hoped for. But interesting how the rules change. You and I talked a little bit about the VA, and we might talk about that just a little bit in the course of the show at some point. But interesting how everything works. And then I shared with you this morning that my husband retired 20 years from the Air Force. And he was retired 3 years when he and I met. And of all the places he had been stationed, he hated Omaha the worst. And he and his daughter couldn't wait until he was done here. And they were going to move somewhere else. And as fate would have it, he met me. And I was born and raised here. I've always been here. My family's been here. I wasn't leaving. And so, ironically, the place that they thought they would leave, and then she also met a homegrown here and married him. And so things don't always turn out the way we plan, do they?
No doubt. And, you know, I want to just say something real quick. I want to avoid, you know, comparative reality or however that should be referenced, because I'm a firm believer that from pencil pusher to trigger puller, every job is important. And, you know, some of these guys and gals that reach out to me will say exactly what you just said. Hey, you know, I didn't do what you did. And it doesn't really matter to me, because let's look at some of our service members around the country and that have gone around the world. When you enlist, you basically lose the option of who you want to be, what kind of job you want to have, and where you want to live. And then every couple years, you're probably going to relocate. So, you know, that's stressful in and of itself. So I think that, you know, I can recall one of the first times I ever shared my story, I had this little old lady come up to me and said, "Hey, I have PTSD." And I said, "Well, tell me about it." She said, "I moved from New York City to here. And here was a town that I grew up in after my father got out of the Army, you know, a town called Pasco, Washington. And not a very big town compared to New York. I mean, what town is?" And that change right there sent her spiraling out of control. She was used to being around millions of people to not. And so I just...
No kidding.
I'm a big proponent. I'm a big proponent for mental health. And you don't have to go to war like I did to experience one. And that's why I'm glad to talk on this platform of yours and hopefully just send a message that, you know, it's okay to not be okay. And I think a lot of people look up to me, and I wish they wouldn't. I don't think I'm a role model. I'm just some guy that's been through hell and back, and I'm just trying to help lift people up. That's what it's all about.
Well, and that is what it's all about, because you're paying it forward. Same with Captain James and Rich on Friday, and so many others that I have the opportunity interview on my show. They're people who have gone through adversity. I mean, you did volunteer, as did my dad. You know, you. So did James. So did Rich. So did a lot of people, and those who didn't, like my uncle, who was drafted to Vietnam and now suffering the effects of Agent Orange. You know, to go through adversity and to come through it and want to pay it forward, service to others, at least I found, and I'm diagnosed PTSD, has been a godsend for me. In fact, it saved my life 12 years ago, a little over 12 years ago, I guess, when I became a host here. I had written a book, and I was doing interviews like you're going to be doing. And the owner of the network, who's in Spokane, Washington area, a burb of there, had heard an interview I was doing, and he had seen that in the brain injury community, there is very little understanding of TBI. And so many people who have TBI also have PTSD from the event that caused the TBI, or what you had to go through to have the TBI treated for a lot of us and after. And he had been doing a show. He's also, all of our hosts are survivors of something that caused a TBI. And he had been doing a show just on Monday nights for 2 years. He had been in a terrible car accident. And I think for him, it was just a cathartic thing. He's younger than I am. When I was injured, there was no internet. There was no social media. There were no support groups. The doctors knew how to save your life, which I'll give them some kudos for that. But they did not know how to handle the baggage you were going to take with you down the road. And that's almost as lethal if it's not treated. And so, you know, Craig came along and had been doing a show for a couple of years, and the response was so overwhelming from people around the world, because they had never, they all thought they were the only ones. And again, felt alone, polarized, without support. For a lot of us, there's not a visible tell. And a lot of times we're not, people don't believe us, or they think we're making excuses, or they forget, they just don't see it. They're not with us when we're going through a lot of what we're going through. And we don't wear that face publicly most of the time. What you see on Facebook aren't those scary, turbulent nights. You know, it's the happy days and the dogs, at least on my page. And it's not because I'm being someone I'm not. I'm just showing part of who I really am, you know.
Yeah,
so there's no
I
lie.
Get that.
There's no lie there. No lie there at all. You know, I'll be the first one
to
say.
I get what you're saying. And, you know, the average social media user isn't going to do what I've done. You know, I'm very transparent. I let people, and just kind of have a lens into the view of what it's like to be a veteran. And I can't honestly say, I think Kim and I were, so we got a couple of Kims. My wife, Kim, is a Marine Corps veteran as well. And we were talking about how this all happened and how, you know, my social media accounts have received so many followings and friends and all that nonsense, right? And I don't mean it like that. I just mean that to be frank with you, if I didn't run a charity, I don't know that I'd ever be on social media. But it's a platform, and I think that we try to use it to leverage things and explain to people what I'm going through, and if I'm going through it, how many other people are going through it. I'm very transparent about the mistakes that I've made in life, about the struggles that I've had, the struggles that I continue to have, and I do that because I want people to understand, and I want them to have a view. There's a lot of people that are not like me, and I wasn't like this. Kim and I were talking about this, man, 4 years ago. How many social media friends did I have? Not very many. Today, it's huge. And, you know, a lot of times I just use this platform for good and for awareness and for information, because not many of us really want to talk about anything that we've been through. I mean, we send our kids off to do horrible, horrible things, and then we got to find a way to reconcile that. We spend years, if not decades, training to be warriors, and we get a week crash course to get out of the military and learn how to be a civilian again. I don't know that I'll ever be a true civilian. I've tried, and I've failed, and so this charity has given me what I've always needed. It's what the Marine Corps gave me. The Marine Corps gave me a mission, and when I got out, I didn't understand what to be. I didn't know who I was. And today, I've just taken that, I've repurposed my training, I've just reshaped it and reformed it in a way that it makes sense to me, and now I just go on missions for Warhawk service dogs and just try to lift people up the way someone lifted me up, you know. And I think KETV Omaha, Channel 7 News, did a great job. I got about 3.5 minutes, almost 4 minutes of airtime, and some of that was me talking, some of that was them talking, and things kind of got commingled a little bit. You know, the chopper that I got shot up in was actually in Afghanistan, and I got hurt in Iraq, and so, you know, I guess I'm critical. I want the information to be accurate, but they were just trying to show a very quick view and high-level view of my story. And, you know, listening to you introduce me, it almost brought tears to my eyes, because it takes me back, and it helps me understand just how far I've come in a short period of time, because even just last year I wanted to die. And that's a hard thing to reconcile, because I've watched a lot of my buddies take their lives, and some of these people that I'm helping, I've never met them, but I feel like I know them. And I just, mm-hmm. I just want the community to keep rallying behind us. Right now is a very difficult time. Look what gas prices are doing. This year, we took the year off, but we didn't stop helping people. So 2019, 2020, and 2021 is when we got those 45 dogs delivered. This year, we had to go back. We had to reach out to all 45 of those recipients, recertify where we could, because we have a requirement. The certification of every single dog is good for 1 year, and then it's up to you to come back and recertify and prove that that dog is still working. Now, we're not going to take the dog back from you unless you're not taking care of the dog. But if you don't want to recertify, that dog becomes your pet, because I need to know that you are putting in the effort every single day, 15 to 30 minutes, of reinforcing that training that the dog spent 12 to 18 months learning how to work for you. And a lot of people have chosen not to recertify, and that's okay, because they're taking care of the dog and they're doing right by the dog, and that's very important to us. But we also just needed to give the team a break. We're an all-volunteer force. 100% of every single dollar received goes straight to the mission. And that's important, because a lot of charities are not like that. And that's okay, too. If charities are employing people, I think that's just fine. But I want people to know that we're always prioritizing dogs and people. And just because of the extreme events of COVID, we had to really look at how can we give the team a break but still help people. So what we decided to do is going to an arena that we had never been before. There's a lot of people out there that have their own dogs, and they just need some help with some training. So what we did is, being that it's the year 2022, we wanted to help 22 veterans, and we did. So we gave out 22 $1,000 grants. And what we would do is we'd work with those veterans and find them a good trainer local to them. So now we've cut out all the expenditures of fuel costs, transportation costs, things like that, and we would vet out a good local trainer that believes in the same training style that we do. So in a lot of cases, some of these trainers, they would actually donate additional time to the training of that veteran's dog. So I think that's a huge success. In April, we were done. So then when we still had some operational monies to spend, I went back to the board and I said, hey, what else can we do? You know, because we have another deal in our bylaws that talks about random acts of kindness. We don't just help veterans. So veterans are always our priority. But it goes veterans, first responders, and special circumstances of PTSD. And one of the things that, you know, I don't get to tell very regularly is that we've helped every branch of service minus the Space Force. They're too new. I've never communicated with anyone from the Space Force or a veteran of the Space Force saying that they need a dog. But every branch of service we've served, and we've served everyone dating all the way back to the Vietnam era. And my dad is from the Vietnam era. And if I could touch on that for just a second, those are the most extreme cases that I've ever worked on. Our current president, I'm the founder, and I stood down after Kabul fell. I went to a real bad place. And my president today, his name is John R. Becker. He's a Vietnam veteran. He was in Saigon, and he called me. He called me when Kabul fell, and he didn't care what was going on. He just wanted to know, Kevin, how are you doing? I said, I'm not doing well. You know, on my arm, I've got 25 names of 3rd Marine Battalion, 5th Infantry Division, 2010. These guys got decimated. It was one of the most catastrophic deployments the Marine Corps has ever experienced since Vietnam. Over 230 would make it home after losing an arm or a leg or both, and I don't know how many of them are alive today because so many have died by suicide. And that's not even counting how many die from overdose from, you know, the opioid issue and painkillers.
Right.
And so the 22 a day, that only represents suicides. It doesn't even talk about those that maybe intentionally or unintentionally overdosed. And so I just think that the numbers are skewed. But again, JR stepped up. He's a Vietnam vet, and he is running this organization in such a fashion that makes me proud. He gave me time back with my family, and now I'm kicking it back into high gear, because if he's stepping it up at his age and he's kicking my butt up and down the street, what's my excuse? The need is there. The need is there, and we have got to grow. I always tell people, we don't raise $1 million, but I said if we raised $1 million, we'd spend $1,000,001. That's how we roll. We want to help people. So once we helped the 22 veterans this year, we kicked it into high gear again and said, let's go help this food and service industry. And so what we started doing is being very gratuitous as we would visit restaurants and things. We'd find great service people, and we'd give them a change your life kind of a tip. And that, again, that's how we are. We want to inspire people to be the change in the world that you want to see. And I think for too long, we have really looked down on the food and service industry. They got hurt bad. Some of them work for less than minimum wage, and it's a minuscule amount of hourly wage, and then they count on those tips. And so we were putting smiles on people's faces, and it's just amazing. And now we have half of the year to fundraise for operations for next year, and you touched on it. A lot of people are wondering, why on earth are you going to New Zealand? New Zealand has the most storied history with America. They have been in every single major conflict side by side with us. We couldn't fight the global war on terror without coalition forces. And the Kiwis are outstanding, exceptional people. You talk to anyone who's ever served alongside them, they'll tell you flat out. They're passionate about us. They care about us. And they can fight. And they can fight. So, yeah, we're going to go to New Zealand next year, come hell or high water. And it's because I want to show the world that we don't just care about our own. We care about those that stood by us. New Zealand is extremely important in that picture. And unfortunately, I don't think that we've garnered the kind of support that we need right now. But I don't think it's because people don't care about New Zealand. That's got nothing to do with it. It's just these are stressful times. In my almost 45 years of life, I'll turn 45 August 2nd. Sometimes I look back and wonder, how the hell did I make it this far?
Yeah.
I really do wonder that sometimes. But I've never seen anything like this in the world. And one of the things that I continue to scream at the top of my lungs is that people hate for so many different reasons. I think we should love for every reason. This thing that happened to me over there, watching the death, the devastation, the destruction, it's just made me a different person. Where I want to lift up anybody. When I'm at work, I'm joking. I'm making people smile. I'm giving out hugs. My daughter, she talks about free hugs all the time. She goes by Baby Warhawk. She's 7 years old, and she has spent four of those years in this charity watching her dad and talking to veterans and talking to law enforcement and talking to people just struggling. And I promise you this, if you talk to her, you can't have a bad day any longer because she's just this. I think that she is she's everything that this world needs. She's got all the best parts of me and none of the worst parts of me. And I hope one day to hand her over the keys to this charity and have her take it to the next level. I think she's, I don't know, she just gives me hope in humanity. But anyway, circling back, I did have to stand down as president. I'm still the founder, I'm still around, and I'm not going to give up on this thing. I'll do whatever it takes. And all of us, we all work full-time, and we all donate 100% of our time to the charity. And people ask me, how the hell do I do it? And I say, man, I never sleep. I've got night terrors. So rather than focus on some of those bad things that are constantly flashing through my brain, I put my mind to work and figure out ways that I can just get more and more people engaged. And, yeah. That's, man, that was a lot coming out just now, wasn't it?
Well, it was, but I appreciate that because, you know, a lot of us civilians have a bad taste in our mouth about treatment of coalition forces fairly recently.
Yeah.
And so I appreciate your mission to care. And to want to
do
something about it.
You know,
that was a travesty that just happened. We, unbelievable.
Charlie Wilson's war, 1980s. We were in Afghanistan, and covertly fighting with the Russians and using the Afghan people to do it. And he said it perfectly when he said that we screwed up the exit strategy. And here again, it's like we as a nation didn't learn anything from our own history. And we once again screwed up the exit strategy. And 13 U.S. service members paid that ultimate sacrifice because of that nonsense. And I can't stand behind that. Look, I don't care. I do not care which side of the aisle people stand on. I don't care if you're left or right. I don't stand on either side of the aisle. I identify as an American, and we need to bring back that pride. We need to start getting along with each other. It doesn't matter if you're Democrat or Republican. It's time to start doing right by this country. We cannot be all things to all people. We cannot please everybody, but we need to bring back leadership. If there's one thing that I took away from the Marine Corps, it's how to be a leader. I promise you, I can drive performance in my everyday work life, in this charity, and JR is the same way, man. We're old school NCOs, and we know how to react and how to just how to be leaders. And sometimes that means getting a foot up your backside, and sometimes that means lifting people up. Somebody once told me, you know, Kevin, all you're doing is giving people handouts. I don't think so. That's the biggest offense I think that anyone's ever given me in standing up this charity. I don't give out handouts. I give hands up. I'm helping somebody up, helping out your fellow woman or man. And that's the difference. There's a big difference. But I think that there's a lot of screaming going on, and there's not a lot of listening. And wise people, wisdom comes from actually listening, hearing the other side, and then finding that compromise. And there's just so much rhetoric going on. I can't watch the news. I cannot. I can't listen to any of these politicians. You know, and that kind of segues into another reason why I think we're kind of hurting a little bit as a charity. I think it was either this year or actually it might have been late last year, the PAWS Act. Now, I've read the PAWS Act from front to back, top to bottom. It's a three-year pilot, so it's got maybe less than 2 years left on it now to award some service members a service dog, courtesy of the VA. And having read that and read through all the requirements that someone has to get to qualify for that, it's never going to work. It's so restrictive. It's so intrusive. I've yet to meet anyone that said, Kevin, the PAWS Act worked for me. Not a single person has reached out to me and told me. I've met one person, and I'm sure there's more, but I've met one person that received a dog from the VA, and it took them 7 years. Now, the difference between me and our organization versus the rest of the, you know, whoever's out there doing whatever it is that they think they're doing or trying to do service dogs, we only focus on PTSD. I realized really quick that we cannot be all things to all people. Training mobility dogs takes time. It's very costly. I need to be able to do it better and quicker, because who on earth that's battling PTSD that needs a service dog that can disrupt those emotional triggers? Who can wait 7 years? The national average is 3 to 5 years of training. We're doing it in a year to 18 months. We've developed a phenomenal program. And anyone out there that wants to learn from us, that wants to improve their program, we share information, because every day I'm outnumbered. Every single day, 45 dogs in 3 years is not enough. But we're small. We're trying to get big. And I've helped stand up 4 additional charities of people that are like-minded, that I'm telling you, we just share resources, because I want to see this thing grow. And if that means you want a turnkey operation, you want to find out how to avoid all the stumbling blocks that we've ever had, then get on it. But 3 to 5 years is the national average, and the national average is $20,000 before we hit this super inflation that we're in right now. We're doing it for right around $10,000. It's free to the recipient. At most, we might make the recipient pay for an application fee, which that money gets spent to do their background check and things like that. And we send someone to their home, make sure they're not living in their car. There's a lot of different things involved with how we screen people. But we cut out a lot of the red tape that the PAWS Act has, because I just feel like these are people that need help, and if I can improve their life, I'm going to find the best way to do that. For those that don't qualify, guess what? Doesn't mean we're not going to help you. We've partnered with mental health professionals, other charities that operate in the mental health space, and get them free resources. What if your life's upside down and you need help finding employment, maybe getting retrained or reprogrammed? You know what? We work with another charity that's out of Dewey, Oklahoma called Stormwalker Ranch. We sent a veteran to go live on that ranch, go through equine therapy, get paid a little bit of money, housing covered, clothing, food, and free therapy for a year. And it rebuilt this guy's life. You know, so we work hard around the clock. Just because you can't get a dog from us doesn't mean we can't find you something. I have spent almost 4 years putting all this together, making relationships with people that just want to help and not compete, but just help. And collaboration is the key. But when it comes to those dogs, I can tell you firsthand what Lacey's done for me. I'm off all of my medications. I might take an emergency sleeping pill from here, you know, from time to time. But outside of that, I'm firing on all cylinders. And it's because a dog has helped me to disrupt those emotional triggers when I couldn't do it for myself. And that removes me from that bad place. It helps me to focus on her, and I forget whatever I was thinking about. It grounds me. And maybe that's not for all people. But I think we've got a phenomenal program. And we make mistakes. We're not perfect. Anybody that wants to, you know, throw dirt at us, I'm sure they can. But it doesn't remove the fact that we're actually out there trying, and we're trying to make the world a better place, and we're learning from our mistakes, and we're continuing to grow, and we're trying to be super competitive in a time where it's extremely difficult to do so, because cost of everything is through the roof. And now more than ever, we need more support. Now more than ever, we need more sponsors like Rogue Pet Science. Man, Rogue Pet Science has been there from the beginning. I love these guys, you know. And then we got awesome trainers coming on board all the time, like Chanel from K918. That girl is so outstanding. I mean, I can go on and on. But, you know, at the end of the day, I just want to see more people getting involved and understanding that this thing, this mental health thing, the TBIs, I've been blown up twice. I have to have a routine every single day. I could misplace my glasses on my own head for crying out loud, you know? And that's a challenge.
Yeah, I do know. You know? I do know. Half the people, three quarters of the people listening here get that. I want to back up for just a moment because
sure.
The time, for one thing, the PAWS Act you were just talking about, but even I think I had another guest, I don't know, maybe 7 years ago, but they were talking about this amount of time that it took to train the dogs, and I thought, God, you're well or gone at that point. An enormous amount of time, and there was an enormous cost involved to the recipient for the dog. And I just, I'm a dog lover. I thoroughly believe totally, and I'm going to back up a little more. I'll let you finish, but I am going to back up a little more because I do want to talk a little bit, since it is PTSD Awareness Month, I do want to talk a little bit, if you don't mind, just a little bit about your service and what some of your triggers are coming home for those who aren't familiar and how a dog can help with these triggers.
Sure.
Now, I can only speak as someone with, and Kevin and I talked about this, it's been a secret, I haven't talked about it, and I will clarify something. My personal page is personal and what we talked about in the beginning. I have a separate page that is a show page that's all related to brain injury things. And then I'm in many support groups. So pages like yours are super important. And pages like Brain Injury Radio and my In a Flash page on Facebook that advertises these shows, promotes these shows. It was the right thing to do, and I concur with you. I wasn't on social media before I started doing this. and this is the 21st century way to promote. It's where the people are. So if you've got something, you know, worth promoting, you really have to be on these platforms. So just a difference, you know, in my mind, what it was separating people getting to know me and then people knowing my commitment and what I do with Brain Injury Radio and sharing the guests, all of the people who come like yourself who have help tools for people in recovery. And a lot of these tools transfer across the board. In my case, it's brain, you know, TBI and PTSD. But a lot of the recovery principles will go across the board. But, you know, I've had a dog since I was a kid and had some problems in my 20s. I wouldn't be able to function if I didn't have a dog. I can tend to be, my blood pressure comes down just by having the dog there. I'm going to have you, though, explain in terms of you being the guest. But I think it's amazing that your people are volunteering to train these dogs. I think it's brilliant that you're, the way that you're doing it, by finding like trainers in the area where these recipients are, that saves so much time and money. The one person I had a compound where all the dogs were getting trained in one state, and then, you know, getting shipped out. But what a great idea, you know, to be finding.
Well,
go ahead.
Let me touch on that too for just a minute, because
we
did have a brick and mortar in the beginning, and man, I tell you what, I love Jesus. We're a God first organization. You don't have to believe what we believe, but I'm going to pray over you when I hand that dog to you. And you know, here we were just getting started. It was just an idea, you know. I called up Anthony Parnell, Hudson Ridge Aussies. You know, my dog's an Australian Shepherd, and in the beginning, all we did was Aussies. And so here we were, and then the floods of Oklahoma came and washed out $40,000 of damage. And I'm just looking up to the big man saying, God, I need a little bit of help here. And I didn't know it, but help was coming. But that devastation and that damage, so many people rallied behind us in the very beginning. We were 501c3 pending. You know, IRS code says they can take up to 27 months to approve your 501c3 status. They took 22. So they almost took all of it, right? And so when you're telling people that you're 501c3 pending, they almost don't want to work with you until they know you're legit. And they say, come on back when you get it, and we'll help you. And so I struggled, and I just kept ground pounding, man. If there's anything I know, it's, man, I know war. So this is just a new kind of war. It's just not a war of bombs or bullets. You know, it's a war to stay relevant. It's a war of the mind. You know, I constantly question myself. Am I doing the right thing? You know, I put my family through financial hardship to make this happen. I really did. And so here we were trying to rebuild, to keep operations running. And then all these people started rescuing us, man. It was just, I get emotional talking about this because I'm not someone that likes to ask for help. But I begged for help, and it came. People started donating their dogs. They'd bring them in. They're like, Kevin, I got this dog. It's trained. It's obedient. It's this. It's that. Man, I started thinking, man, what if I can cut down on time and not bring a dog in until I know that it's ready for the tasking purpose? So let's talk about that for just a second. ADA standard says if you're going to have a service dog, it's got to have three things. It's got to be house broke. Okay. I made a joke about this, and God rest his soul, man. Pat Campbell, he helped us explode through Tulsa. He's a talk show host, talk radio. It's now called The Blitz. It used to be called The Pat Campbell Show. And this guy was an icon in Tulsa. And his son is a Marine. And so he called me up and said, hey, I want to bring you on the show. And I said, okay, I don't know what that looks like, but let's figure it out. You know, I've had to learn how to get on these platforms like yours and how to speak intelligently, because let me just tell you, I'm a Marine. I can make a trucker's ears bleed, okay? So, but I went on his show, and my mom, bless her heart, sometimes she looked at me. My daughter, she's got a swear jar for me. I'm so broke, man. I fill that jar up every day. It's daddy, there's another dollar, you know? So, and Isabel's so sweet. She'll say, daddy, I know you just can't help it. I'm just trying to make you better. I said, I love you, little girl. I love you. You know, she's sweet. But she's also, she's a little firecracker, man. She's got a little sense of humor like her dad, too. But it, I came on the Pat Campbell Show, and he would ask the questions, you know, what does it take to be a service dog? And I said, well, I'll tell you right now, you got to get him housebroke, because you can't have a dog coming on to the Pat Campbell Show and peeing and pooping all over the place. And they started laughing, and but there's a, it's real, you know. I mean, they got to be, I mean, they're going to be in situations. They're going to be at the restaurant with you, you know. They're going to be in at work with you, and it's got to know how to alert you. Hey, I got to use the bathroom now, you know. Obedience, you know, and there's basic obedience and advanced obedience, on and off leash training. You know, what if something's happening to the handler? And we need to tell that dog to go to its place or go to the wall and let the professionals, you know, medical, maybe you've got a first responder trying to administer aid to that person. So the dog's got to know that it's when it's okay to let someone else get involved. And then, you know, the next thing is, and this is crucial, task training. So we have two tasks that our dogs provide. Number one, I don't care who they are. If they've got PTSD, they probably don't want to be around people. And so we train our dogs to create space. They're not the typical, they're going to be on your heel kind of situation. When you're in public, that dog wearing that vest means it's working and it's looking to actively block for you and circle for you and give you space in public. If people come into your space, that dog's going to block them. And then the most crucial aspect, in my opinion, is just what Lacey does for me. And right now, she is so laser focused on me as I'm talking to you that she can tell my RPMs are kind of getting up. I'm talking about something I'm passionate about. I'm thinking about things I probably shouldn't be thinking about. But as my triggers are happening, they're going to start with some touch. Excuse me. They're going to start with some touch, and then they're going to escalate. They're trying to get you to focus on them and pull your mind away from whatever you're thinking about and just love on the dog, and then they're going to go back to being normal again. So those are the three areas that we've got to focus on. But that flood, the floods of 2019 in Oklahoma, it taught me a hard lesson. How can I operate more efficiently and more effectively? Maybe having a brick and mortar is not the right thing to do. And so you're right. By reaching out to other like-minded people that know how to train dogs, you know, man, we've worked with some of the greatest behavioralists, some of the greatest trainers, master certified dog trainers. I've worked with people that just have 20 or more years of experience working with dogs, you know, and even since the show aired on the news, there's a phenomenal organization called Bonafide in Omaha, and they're offering up their services, and they're helping me. They're collaborating with me to figure out how can we make a bigger impact. And that's a big deal. But by using localized resources, getting those future dog handlers embedded with a trainer, and then us just footing the bill to help them progress along, that's been a game changer for us. And it's just helped, you're right. I mean, this is not a time to be booking flights, to be driving all over America to get these guys access to our facility and things of that nature. We had to get smart, and we had to do it fast. Another thing that we did is, you know, Home Depot, Lowe's, they are such phenomenal supporters of ours. they would donate supplies where we could expand other kennels. Because if you talk to anybody that has a board and train operation, the one thing that they tell us that their need is capacity. So if we can go in and organize a situation where we can get things donated to us, where we can help build and expand their operation and then work out an agreement that says, hey, now you can use this to increase your revenue, but when I have a need, I'll give you 30-day notice. We're bringing in a dog, and we're going to need you to work with somebody, a veteran, a first responder, a special circumstance, PTSD. Yeah, absolutely. I've invested in them, and now they're going to invest in us, and they're going to invest in someone that needs help. And that right there is how the magic happens. And I hope someone is listening right now and taking notes, because I'm just basically giving the keys to the kingdom away because I want that. I'm not greedy. I'm not selfish. I want other people to take this knowledge and employ it and deploy it and start helping people, because 22 a day, I've not been able to get 22 dogs done in a year since we started. It went 12, 18, and then 15. Those are our first three-year stats right there. So 45 dogs, you know. And I just want to put a bigger dent in this suicide epidemic, you know, and let's talk some other stats. Okay, we all know about 22 a day, and that's if it's a good day, because it's far worse than that. They don't even include the overdose stats. But let's just talk about mental health in America for a second. Every 13 minutes in America, someone is dying by suicide. And I'm very intentional when I say died by suicide, because I don't believe that we commit cancer. I don't think we should be saying someone committed suicide. Something happened to them. They died by suicide. Let's find out what the root cause is. You don't have to look very far right now, today, in this world, to really find a reason to be depressed. So I think we got to dig deep and we got to flip the script. And that's why we just try to put people in a better place. We try to make them smile. We tell them, when we end conversations, we say, sure do love you. And that's how we hang up, because if you say goodbye on a phone call, that could be final. I want to make love real. I want to make it mean something, just like I want to make thank you for your service mean something. That has become an empty platitude because people say it almost as though they're forced to or feel obligated to. If you want to really thank a veteran for their service, invest in them. Hey, what are you doing today? You know, what are you doing now that you've got out? You know, take an interest in their life as it is for them today. And I think by also just telling people, sure, we love you, just at random. You know, I remember running into this guy in the grocery store. I was having a meltdown, absolute meltdown. I get lost in these grocery stores, and I had a list. I was trying to help my wife. And she gets stressed out because, you know, people can suck. You know, they're crowded. They're pushing their carts around. They're running into you. I'm like, sweetheart, I got this. She's like, no, you don't do well in those situations. I got this. No, I want you to relax. I got it. She gave me a list, and I forgot to take a pen with me. And I was getting so stressed out because I'm looking for all these items. I don't know what the hell I'm doing. And here's this guy, and I see him. He's got a pen, and I said, man, I wish I had a pen right about now. I'm trying to just mark these off. I'm lost. I don't know where to go for this and that. I spent 2 hours probably what she could have done in 15 minutes. He handed me a pen. His last name was McCall. I'll never forget it. He goes, man, take my pen. And he said, I sure do love you, and Jesus loves you. And that made my day.
Wow.
You know? And then as I look at the pen, it's got his full name and address on it. I wrote him a letter with Warhawk letterhead, and I told him how much I appreciated him. I wonder where he is today. You know, he's an older gentleman, nice guy. Turned out the church that I was going to at the time, he had actually been a member of years before. So it was just really cool and to know that I'd run into some of the same people and some of the same crowd that he had run in. But that's the kind of impact we need to have right now. Those are the kind of things that we can do every single day. I know that not everyone can donate right now. I get that. But man, it doesn't take anything to take a moment out of your day, open a door for someone, maybe buy them a coffee, just smile at somebody, say, hi, how are you doing? To a perfect stranger, everyone listening to this right now has an opportunity to change the trajectory of somebody's day just by being kind, man, just by being kind. And that's the kind of thing that I'm trying to promote on an everyday basis, you know, and it's just so easy. It's so easy, but we're so engrossed in negativity. You know, everything that we look on, you turn on your TV right now, I promise you, you're going to see something negative, even in commercials or, you know, whatever's airing on TV these days. I don't have time to even watch TV, you know, and that's probably a good thing because I could care less. I'm not there trying to save lives. And I need people to do that too. I need people to rally behind that and just take a moment out of your busy day and go bless someone. And it doesn't take much.
No, and that is important because what you said, and I'm older than you, I've never seen anything in my lifetime that's been going on. I mean, first of all, none of us were alive during the last pandemic. You know, the groceries, gas, probably started with politics, you know, back around the elections and COVID came on around the same time. And, you know, I started noticing then and, you know, when I was young, I think it had passed by the time you were born, but, you know, when I was young, there were three TV channels and at midnight a test pattern came on. And so you couldn't get bombarded by media and there was no social media and there was no internet and there wasn't computers, all of those things. And, you know, I was really blown away on TV, social media, radio. And what I wondered was you know, I was a financial consultant for 25 years and I've been doing this. So I'm around people, talking to people. And, you know, there was all of my life, you know, people have been able to be having a conversation, maybe get on a, say, a political topic or something that they disagree on. They voice their disagreement. And then something clicks inside of them that just says, well, we agree to disagree. You know,
right.
I'm not going to sell my idea to this person and they've got their heels dug in. Okay, now let's go have a cup of coffee. You know, and they just went on and talked about the things in common, not the things that were different. And that's what it seems like. To me, you know, I thought about it. We fly our flag all the time. I thought about it last night, yesterday, because it was Flag Day, and we were going to have a horrible storm, did have a horrible storm last night. So I was bringing the flag in, and we've got a little spotlight on it. And, you know, I saw the stars together, and more than once in the last few years, I've thought about the United States, and we've been so divided. And people, for whatever reason, haven't been satisfied to agree to disagree. I've seen family members, not mine, but family members, best friends, not just people that you could take or leave on social media, but friends and family actually break up over a difference in a political stance, which no one's going to probably remember a few years from now, particularly in Brain Injury Radio land. Hell, in 2 months they're not going to remember, but you know, relationships, long-term relationships terminated over a difference of opinion. And I agree with you and I've been telling people, the first thing you got to do is unplug to some degree, you know, and I talk about it with TV and I talk about it with social media, because while we use it for what we use it for, you know, and I'll say it again just briefly, I like to remind people and give them a challenge, is that, you know, social media paid millions, if not billions of dollars to figure out how to make it addictive. They want you to stay on there a certain amount of time, and it's as addictive anything else that's addictive out there. So if someone has had an alcohol, gambling, sex, drugs, whatever it might be, if you've got a predilection toward addiction, then social media spent the money, made the investment to get you addicted. And I know people that are on it 24/7. And then you get the tension buildup of the politics and of COVID and of a news cycle that's 24/7 and all this divisiveness. And then people are invisible on social media. You know, mm-hmm. It's not like being you. What you see when you're on there is a lot of stuff that's said that, you know, people wouldn't have the nads to say face to face, you know, to somebody.
Yeah.
They're at arm's length, you know. It's like on Halloween, you know, they know who you are, but you're across the country or whatever, and people are saying stuff on there, you know. And I tell people, and it goes to your random acts of kindness, is, you know, there is a virtual world out there, but there's a real one out here that we live in with real people. And to, I guess what I say is, you know, what I've done is I've never had notifiers on social media. And mm-hmm. I don't have it on all the time. I set the terms with social media. And I like to say this on the radio, because people who private message me, you know, I do tell them, and people just can't believe it. You know, I don't want people to think I'm ignoring them or that I'm being rude if they sent me a private message and I didn't respond right away. They can't believe the fact that I'm not connected all the time. And I'm like, no, I check it a couple times a day, you know, see if there's anything important. Same thing with my email. You know, I get a couple thousand a day. I check that in the morning, and I realize that was taking up half my day. And so I, you know, I've got a trigger finger from hitting delete, you know, on all of the junk mail you get when social media sells your personal information, you know, get a lot of that and prioritize and answer the things that need to be answered. And so, you know, if I look at my email each morning and somebody sends me something at 4 p.m, chances are I'm not going to be seeing it and addressing it until the next morning. And the same thing with social media. And, you know, it was something I learned going through a different addiction process, that I'm in charge. They're not in charge. I'm in charge. And I don't mm-hmm. want to be addicted to social media. I want to be out doing other things. I mentioned to you that I'm a member of Daughters of the American Revolution and of a writers group and quite a few help groups on that have to do with brain injury and teaching people how to be hosts. I hire, recruit, and train. And by the way, we all work on a volunteer basis as well. And Craig pays for Brain Injury Radio through, well, what it was, unfortunately. He's a musician, professional musician. They had a band for 15 years, And his drummer, 33 years old, died of COVID last year. Prophetic, because they had just did the equivalent of, I use old terminology, of a 3-album project. It was going to be their farewell tour. They've been doing it 15 years and they were going to stop. It's the website for that. By the way, the reason I'm mentioning that is because everything on there is a free download right now. And when he takes it down, it's staying down. And that day is coming fairly soon. We used to use his tour money to pay for the network. Now he's got a different job that's paying for the network. So there are people that are committed, like you, like me, like Craig. So, you know, everyone's always looking for what we're getting out of it. What we're getting out of it is purpose and the,
I couldn't agree
the
more.
Opportunity, the opportunity to be able to help other people. So believe it or not, not everybody, you know, is out there for a buck or to take advantage. We really do want what's best for people. But the website, anyway, is the, T-H-E-E, the letter R, insane, theRinsane.com. And as of last week, it was still there, but our thoughts and prayers, my thoughts and prayers still go out to Craig. That was a huge loss. You know, they worked very close together for 15 years, and Craig got COVID, and then his partner got COVID, and it happened right at the beginning of 2020, and that's when the farewell tour was supposed to happen. And so what happened was the studio time, the music was done, and they got their 3-album set. Everything is on, was on Reverb Nation, and we're just about to start the tour, and the pandemic started. And early into it, Craig got COVID, and then Curly, the drummer, and I guess you would say he was one of the long haulers, somebody who kept having to be rehospitalized for the damage COVID did in the beginning. And then 33 years old, this is when they were saying only old people, it only affected old people. Well, that wasn't true. 33-year-old guy died. And so it was all pretty surreal, considering how that was supposed to be working, and Craig's really suffered, you know, a lot from that. So anyway, what I used to say is check it out, and if you like a tune, buy one. And of course, you know, at $1.69 or whatever they, you know, music is for any of these artists. I've got quite a few. In fact, when we go out, I always play a song playing out a show. And there's a Marine, Dave Bray, who a Marine veteran, who is a musician and does patriotic. And I'll probably close out with Warrior tonight. But, you know, these guys make what? They sell the songs on Apple or wherever for $1.67, however much it is, you know, to buy a song. And when I was young, you had to buy a whole album. You loved one song, and you maybe kind of liked another one or two, but you were forced, you know, to pay about $15 for the whole album, you know, to get those couple songs you liked, you know. And now it changed, you know, a song is whatever it is, $1.50, and you know, Amazon or Apple gets 40% of that, and the artist gets 60%. So you're sure not making money on music sales. I don't discourage you from doing that. Every little bit helps. But where they make their money is on tours. So you know, musicians or others who, you know, were doing a lot of hurting. So many groups, you mentioned the first service people, and, you know, in our area, we're sad, and I'm sure this is true around many other parts of the country, but, you know, we had a lot of mom and pop family, legit Italian restaurants, others too, but I'm going to take Italian restaurants for a minute, because there is a large contingent of Italians in the area, and they all had restaurants, real Italian food, not Olive Garden, SpaghettiOs, you know, not Americanized Italian food, but the real thing. And all these family businesses have closed down. I just heard, and this was a fish place that was around, been around for 67 years. And if they haven't already closed, they're closing this week. And it was because first the pandemic and then being able to get help. You know, there isn't a window that doesn't have a help wanted sign on it. You
isn't
know,
that
really,
crazy right now? I just don't understand where the workforce went to. And, you know, it's interesting that you're talking about that. That I have a really good, I hope she's listening tonight, and if not, I'll make her go back and listen. Her name is Giz Robinson, a retired major in the United States Army. When my story came out in Oklahoma, she reached out to me and said, you know what, I like to feed homeless veterans with my restaurant, you know, Gizzy's Heritage Theater and Pub. And just they did a lot of cool stuff there, you know. And, you know, she had to close shop. And she relocated to Virginia, and she's in a great place, but it's just crazy to watch how things have unfolded. And I feel like the people that were expendable was the food and service industry. And I mean, that represents the lion's share of jobs that exist out here. And probably the most poorly compensated as well. I come from the belief of this. I'm not going to go out and eat unless I can afford to do so and also afford to be generous. And
yeah.
I guess the other thing, too, is that I just don't feel that I'm someone who deserves to be served. And so I'm going to take care of that person, whether it's getting a haircut or being served food or whatever. I like to take my daughter on, I call them daddy-daughter dates, you know, and they're typically getting pedicures because she likes to get her feet done, and she just likes the massage chair. It's so funny watching a seven-year-old sit in an adult massage chair, and, you know, typically they'll go get her a pillow to help her prop up her back or something. But, you know, and then she picks out a color, and she's always picking teal. She wants my toenails painted teal. I allow that on my toes because I'm going to be wearing shoes. You know, no one's going to know that I've got painted toes, but, hey, I'll own it. I can still let my daughter get my toes painted and be a man, right? So, but, and it's ticklish. And I'll tell you what, I think everybody, you know what, for all the men listening out there, go get yourself a pedicure because you'll have a great night's sleep. There's a lot of toxins in our feet, right? So I just realized that, you know, going out with my daughter on these daddy-daughter dates, I try to spend as much quality time with her as I can because I spend a lot of time on the road, man. I'm campaigning for Warhawk or I'm working and I'm on the road. And so I just value that time. But I feel like the service industry just got pounded over the last 2.5 years, and I don't think things are back to normal. I know that we're kind of getting back to some semblance of normal, but nothing that's going on right now is helping anybody. And I really feel like our leaders in this nation need to step up, and they need to stop the rhetoric and just get down to actually what they're supposed to do, which is work for the people. And for some reason, government leaders have felt that we work for them now, and that's the wrong answer. It's the wrong mentality. I just don't see a lot of hope in the current leadership. And I want to see some of these this younger generation take on their civic duty. I don't have a political bone in my body. I have no desire to take that on. I'm going to continue on this mission. I'm going to help people, and I'm going to scream to the top of my lungs until I get what I need to continue this mission. But it's just interesting. And, you know, the idea of helping the food and service industry happened about 18 months ago. At random, we just threw up a random fundraiser and said, hey, we want to give somebody a $1,000 tip. And so if we can make $1,000 in donations, we're going to go give somebody. We're going to make sure it's just not somebody that's going to waste it. And this is the coolest thing. You know, Omaha is so near and dear to my heart. Corporal Page, you know, there was a huge procession for him when he died. Yes. and his body came home. And I just watched
Omaha.
And my buddy flew in because 2-1 Golf was his unit. And my buddy flew in with his wife. Both are Marines. And they were present for this. And they went and met the family. And I didn't have the courage to do it. I've only met a couple of Gold Star families. And I should say that we're directly tied to my service. But anyway, Corporal Page's grandma saw a table that was built by Home Depot, and it's got all 13 of those service members' names that happened in Kabul. It's got the 25 of 3rd Marine Battalion, 5th Infantry Division, Dark Horse, just a lot of other signatures of people putting their loved ones on there that died in service to their country. There's some other positive messages on there. Thank you for all you've done for my family. Thank you for your service. You know, just great things. And I can't wait to get that table back. They're going to seal it. It's been getting signatures about a week before Memorial Day and a week after, and it's just filled up, and they're going to seal it. But in any event, we went out in Omaha, and I think it took all of 2 hours to raise $1,000 for this initiative. And I walk in, and I got my buddy, Mike Warren. He was in town in Omaha, and I know him from Tulsa. And it just so happened, I said, Mike, let's go out. Let's get a burger and a beer, and let's go bless someone tonight. So we walk in, and this is the beauty of it. I believe that there are still good people out there. And I walk up to the bartender and say, hey, me and my buddy, we're here on a secret mission. We want to bless someone with a $1,000 tip, but we want to make sure it goes to someone deserving. That bartender, she could have said, that's me. And without question, I would have given it to her. She said, you know what? There's this girl. She's waiting tables upstairs. She's so deserving of something like this. Man, that's called integrity. Right there.
Yeah.
So she took us upstairs after we ate. We ordered one beer. She came in and was asking us if we want anything else. I said, no, just one beer and we'd like to check. And we wrote $1,000 and I had to give him my card, my identification. I gave him my business card, let him know who I was with. And that girl about cried. And, you know, it's just interesting. And I just said, hey, I want you to know that a coast-to-coast community that we call Warhawk Nation, and there's a hashtag on there. If you hashtag Warhawk Nation, all one word with behind a hashtag, if you search for that, you're going to find us. And I call it the coast-to-coast community that cares. You know, I've said that I don't know that I have a nation anymore, so I had to go out and make one. The other joke that I tell people is that, the Warhawk Nation is not a joke, but I do tell this joke. I could never run for president of the United States of America. Now, you guys think that Trump was bad? I'd make him look like a choir boy with all the shenanigans that I pulled when I was in my 20s and dirty 30s, okay? So I had to make my own organization so that I could call myself president, you know?
Yeah.
But so we gave that gal a tip. And then we walked back downstairs, and I said, hey, listen, I want you to know that what you just did is called integrity. And I'm in the business of rewarding integrity. Now, I don't have any more money for my charity to give you, but what I do is I have personal money. And so here's my card. I need you to order me a beer. And I don't have $1,000, but I'm going to give you a $600 tip from me personally because of what you just did. And I think you deserve to be blessed just as much as her. And that's what it's all about. You know, I don't know in the scheme of things that amount of money helped them a whole hell of a lot. because that goes quick, okay? That's maybe a month's rent. Depending on where you live, I don't know. But at the end of the day, I watch so many people just rally behind this random act of kindness. And I know that we can't afford to do that all the time. Some people, they really discredit us a little bit. They talk trash about, well, you should have done this or you should have done that. And I got to just tell people, man, if you can't get behind the mission, then I get it. Go find a charity that you do like and donate to them and get behind their cause. But I'm always going to be the guy that goes out and lifts people up, you know. And I'm humble. I'm grateful for every single donor and sponsor that's ever helped me get to where we're at today. And it's we. It's not me. It might be my story because some people don't have the courage to really get down and share that story. That's fine. I'll tell you. You know, you asked me early on, what is some of the things that I battle? How about looking at my daughter and seeing a three-year-old Afghan that I've seen blown up 75% of her body, third-degree burns from the IED blast, what burning flesh smells like? How about let's talk about what happened after we left? What happened in Afghanistan? You know, JR said it. He said it in an interview that I sat next to him. And he said, generally speaking, when we leave and the enemy comes back in, they just execute the population that supported us. I had so many messages from some of my friends that I met over the years of serving abroad. I was, you know, social media is great in that respect. You can stay connected mm-hmm. with people from all around the world, and I had these interpreters that I worked with directly. I knew it wasn't them messaging me anymore. It was the enemy trying to get intel. I went on a hiatus from social media. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Wow.
I had to walk away from that. And it's interesting, too. At one point in time, I was working on a mission that I can't talk about. But I can tell you this. I had a guy who was pretty important come walking up to me and say, hey, Taliban's got a bounty out for you, $50,000, dead or alive. They want your head on a platter. You know, and some people would think that I might run and hide today because you never know what kind of threats you got in America. I said, bring it. You're facing two United States Marines, me and my wife, and she's way more badass than me, I can tell you that. So I'm not afraid of anybody. I'm just going to keep charging along, you know, but I remember how that impacted me. And I thought in that very moment, you know, like a jackass that I am, well, is it only $50,000? I thought I was worth more than that, you know, but over there, $50,000 to an Afghan that only makes $230 a year, it's a lot of money.
Yeah.
But, the threat was real, you know, but, I don't know. You know, I know we've kind of bounced around a lot, but the things that I saw over there, the dead bodies and what point blank executions look like after we recover dead bodies of some of our allies, coalition forces, Afghans, Iraqis, it'll change you. And you just sit there and wonder, how can humans do this to one another? We put our service members in harm's way against kids. I was talking to a veteran today that just started a job in my company that I work full-time for. I work for ConAgra, and they've been such an amazing blessing in my life because they know that I'm not okay. And you know what? It's okay with them. But what an awesome company to work for when they know this guy, he's struggling, but we're going to rally behind him. You know, John Harris interviewed me. John Harris is way up that chain of command in the corporate America,
yes.
You know,
yes.
structure. And how awesome was it to just get some FaceTime with him? And, you know, we were doing a show, and on the air and off the air, he was complimentary, and he was so genuine. I just love the culture of ConAgra. They're very inclusive. very diverse, and just promoting that. Include people. We all come from different walks of life. And this thing that we keep circling back to, Kim, is this. Everyone keeps coming back to that divisiveness and that anger. And it's just this. The one thing that unites us all is that we are all different. You have to be quiet for a little bit. You have to listen. We may not always agree, and that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
You just got to know whether you think they're right or wrong. They're talking that way for a reason. Something happened in their life. You've never, ever can understand where someone's coming from if you've never walked a mile in their shoes. You know, and that sounds cliche, but it's true. It's true.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I go out of my way to lift people up. I go out of my way to make them smile. Man, I might tell a fart joke to make somebody smile. I was on a meeting today, and this guy named John, he goes, Kevin, you just got to keep circling back. There was a running joke, and I think people were taking bets. How long are we going to be on a meeting before Kevin tells a poop joke? And you know what it is? It's just because I want people to smile. And can we all not agree that poop jokes and farts in general are the funniest damn thing on the planet? I mean, that's what do you think we used to do in the military? When we had spare time, if we weren't smoking cigarettes, we were farting on each other and seeing who could gas each other out the fastest, you know? So I don't care who you are. That's funny right there. That's funny, you know? And, you know, for those of the that are listening, or probably checking out Warhawk PTSD service dogs on social media, let me tell you something, man. We're some cool people. We drop legit memes. We're always telling jokes because that's how we cope. We cope. I was once told that I lost a sponsor because I wasn't professional enough. I know how to be professional, but I also know how to be me. And I'm always going to be
God's
me.
Sake.
If you can't rally behind me and this charity and this organization that has integrity, that has honor, courage, and commitment every single day, but we might tell a couple of bad jokes, well, I'm sorry, and go find somebody else. But I want people that are going to accept us for who we are. And I want people that are going to be able to say at the end of the day, because Kim, we touched on this, there was a time when it didn't matter if you were Democrat or Republican, you still respected each other. It's cool, man. I don't believe what you believe. And that's okay. That's what I fought for. I fought for your right to disagree. I fought for you to go and vote. And how many people fail to execute on the most important right that every service member that has ever died, how many of you just failed to go out and vote? You got opinions, but I always ask people, did you vote? No. Well, then your opinion don't matter to me anymore because so many people have died for that one singular right that could unite us all. Your vote matters. I don't care what people say about the election process or this, that, and the other. Don't complain about it and don't say, well, my vote doesn't matter. So, well, and then you're part of the problem. Your vote does matter. Your vote does matter. And I'm telling you, that's one of the coolest things that we brought to Afghanistan, Iraq, that whole democratic process, you know, and democracy is a big deal. It really is. So I don't know. But anyway, to lighten it up just a little bit, a good fart joke, man, goes a long way. And there's no pun intended there at all.
Okay. I had a joke for you, but you took me off guard. Why does a duck have feathers?
Why does a duck have feathers? I don't know this one. Hit me with it.
To cover his butt quack.
I'm gonna use it. I like to post terrible dad jokes, you know. And I think people might think I'm bipolar or something, and maybe there's some truth to that. I really don't know. But, you know, 1 minute I'm serious, you know. Throughout this month I've been, you know, sending out information about PTSD awareness. And then, you know, 5 minutes later I might send up a joke, you know, and I guess I'm trying to be informative, but I'm also trying to lighten the day for people. And some people rely on that, you know. And it's funny, when I was talking about Gizzy and her, Heritage Theater and Pub, the last thing that we did was she invited me out to try on a comedy night. They had a comedy night, and I called it Kevin's Coming Out of the Closet Comedy Night, because I'm a closet comedian, right? And, man, I started off that, I got a little too fast for my own good, but I just love comedy. I love jokes. I love having a good sense of humor. And I got up, and the first thing I said was, you know, I thought a lot about what I'm going to talk to you guys tonight. So I'm going to talk to you about, and I had a list long, dramatic pause. And then I turned away, and then I turned back, and I said, pooping, you know, and everyone starts laughing. And I talked about, you know, going to work, having a nice big old fat number two, and then closing the lid and putting a sticky note on it and saying, hey, please don't flush this. I think I've got a Guinness Book of World Records. I'm going to get a ruler, you know, and people were cracking up. And then I got excited because people were laughing, and I went to the next joke, and the next joke I got too fast, you know, and what can I say? I started off great, and then I kind of bombed it, and then I came back a little bit. But it's just interesting, too, to see how we all cope, you know. And some people cope with alcohol. Some people cope with drugs. They want to forget, you know. Or me, I just try to use humor, and I try to lift people up. And I think it's time. I think we've had enough hate and dissension. Let's figure out a way to just kind of make the world a better place. And, you know, listening to you talk about this radio show, and you're right, a lot of people ask that question, what's in it for me? And we talked about social media, too. We are in a world today where it's on demand, and people expect things now, and they expect it cheap and immediate gratification. And it'd be nice if we could just take a step back from that for a while. I think it would it'd make the world a little bit of a better place. And, it's healthy. And
You had TBI. I had TBI. Most of the people listening had TBI. The only reason I bring these things up, and I think people here of all places understand what you're talking about, you can obviously tell you're a professional and you're well-spoken, but we have to do what we have to do. You know, there's a pretty heavy load we carry working in the PTSD community and the brain injury community. There's some tragic, heartbreaking things to deal with every day. And you do what you've got to do to cope. And so, you know, if being a closet comic is one of them, that's fine. My husband and I, you know, we live in Omaha proper. And, you know, what we do is drive out into the country and I take pictures. You know, we get out of the traffic and the, you know, of the city, and go out where it's quiet and take pictures. And for my birthday, although it quit, that was in like in April and it hasn't stopped raining, but I wanted a metal detector. And so now when we go out to the country, we'll have the camera and the metal detector and, you know, just getting out and getting into nature. You know, nature is very healing, and stepping away, you know, from the computer and the TV and the things that are heavy, because it isn't like, I mean, you said you didn't sleep. A lot of people here, you know, sleep disorders come with the turf of brain injury and PTSD, and obviously we should try to get regulated sleep, but, you know, we have to push ourselves away from the work table and disengage for moments at a time. I just call it recharging my battery. You know, I need to recharge. And to do that, I need to disconnect. And it isn't not caring, and I'm back at it, you know. I'm back at it the next day. But, you know, sometimes I got to go get that pedicure too. I laughed when you said that. I've got teal just a couple days ago. So I thought that was pretty funny when you brought that up. But, you know, just getting out into the country, out of the traffic, out of the noise, away from the 5G towers. We don't have much time left, so I'm going to – I'll stop my comment with this.
Well, I want to give people at least one take home. This is crucial. You know, and you talk about, man, if there's one thing I miss about Afghanistan, Iraq was a little – it's a little more modern than Afghanistan was, but one thing I missed the most was when it was quiet and we weren't getting shelled, we weren't getting attacked, and it was just all quiet, and you're on a blackout fob. That means no lights. And there's no city lights. I could see stars. Sometimes I would just stand outside, you know, get out of the bee hut, get out of the bunker, and just look up and just see stars for miles to the naked eye, you know. But if there's one take home that I could give anybody right now, you got to learn how to breathe. Breathing 3 to 4 seconds in, and a slow, controlled 7 to 8 seconds out. I coach and mentor people on this all the time. Look, you're talking. You're not breathing. I need you to just take a deep breath. It will calm that fight or flight PTSD response. It'll calm it down. You're giving yourself some oxygen because you're just getting amped up in the moment and you're stressing out. Just take a moment to breathe. You know, and I want to talk about – I know we're coming to the end. So Addie Owen was one of the originating founders of this charity. She died, double lung transplant recipient. I love her so much, and I miss her so much. I've had a lot of loss just in the time that we stood up this charity. Even Adam Sexton, a Marine of mine from over 20 years ago, drank himself to death. And there's arguments about that. They say he died by COVID. No, that's just what put the nail in the coffin, man. That man had a drinking problem. He struggled so much. I gave him a dog. I love that guy. But Addie Owen, if you look her up, still there to this day, just breathe, breathe. And she had cystic fibrosis, you know, so it attacks the lungs. And I like to think that she lived a beautiful, full life. And she blessed me so much. She believed in my charity so much. And, but, man, people, whoever's listening, whatever you're going through, I sure do love you. And just breathe. Just take a moment to just breathe. Get away from, just like what you're saying, Kim, get away from all that nonsense for just a hot minute. Take a moment to breathe. And if you got to do it 150 times a day, then do it 151 times a day, you know?
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Exactly. Well, and one of the lines that I like to use is, action opposite emotion is an arrow in my quiver, I guess. And, you know, sometimes those emotions can get so heavy and chaotic, you think they're never going to end. And so instead of staying in that spot, breathing is good. Last week we did guided imagery. And neurolinguistics is what the show was on last week, and part of that was guided imagery and breathing. So definitely talked about that. But, you know, in whatever place you're stuck, if you can take action opposite that emotion and not, you know, we've talked a lot on the shows before about self-sabotaging behavior, like self-medicating and and those sorts of things. And, you know, those are as suicide, you know, a temporary, a permanent solution to what could be a temporary problem. You just need the right support, guidance, tools to be able to use. Most of the people I know who have died by suicide, and I agree with your assessment of how you state that, couldn't get unstuck. They didn't have the tools to get unstuck. And so many times, I can't second guess those things that have happened, but that's for God, you know, that's whatever. But for me, I told you one thing that I do, but, and you're right, if it's one time a day, if it's one time a month, if it's times on a given day, just getting up and extracting yourself from that place in your head by doing something completely different. You know, it might be, when you said that about the store, I could relate to that too. I can't do the store. I get our groceries delivered. It's $100 a year, and they deliver them for free. And that saves me a lot of grief. A lot of once a week grief for $100 a year. It started when COVID did. You know, if you've been on a respirator before, it ain't, that was something that set a lot of my triggers going when COVID started. I was in a coma for 11 days and on a respirator, and I don't ever want to do that again. And so when this came up, I was really freaked out, and I wasn't going to the store. It just wasn't going to happen. And so I was grateful that I could do that. So there's a myriad of different tools, DBT, 12-step, EMDR, yoga. We got a guy on that's going to be doing Qigong, some of those kind of meditations. We talk about tools of recovery on here every week. A companion animal, getting a pet. I told, not only was it interesting that this slot came open and I just happened to see you on the news, and it just happened to be PTSD Awareness Month. I mean, I believe all those things line up. And I told you when I first met you on the phone that one of my dogs had passed away about 3 months ago, and that Friday, 2 days from now, we're getting a new baby here in the house. And so I'm hoping that that the other two get along. Always an adjustment to bring in a new personality, but there were so many coincidences, and I don't really believe in coincidences. I call that God's way of working anonymously. And so reach out, you know, if you're in a bad place, reach out, people willing to help, people willing to listen. And sometimes it might not be, it might be going through all of the things dragging you down, and sometimes it's doing service work. You know, you were talking about opportunities that people have all over the country, all of you that are listening, all over the country. You know, if you have experience in training dogs, maybe you'd like to be part of this process. One more thing I wanted to touch on before we left that they talked about on the news that we haven't. You talked about different groups of people, but something that made you stand out too when I saw it on the bit on TV was not something we mentioned tonight, and you talked about those characteristically, we think of the service dog as being for the veteran. You talked about the veterans' families, those who have lost someone, Gold Star families, and that you also provide dogs because their need and hurt is as profound. And I wanted to touch on that for just a minute, too. That was a group that we didn't mention that.
Well, yeah,
let me
touch on that because
please.
There's a hierarchy. It's veterans, first responders, and special circumstances of PTSD. And on the news, you saw Amber Edom, founder and president of the Precious Legacy. The Precious Legacy helps kids of the fallen and those Gold Star families. You know, when I met Amber, she called me up with, you know, she had nothing left. She didn't know where to turn, what to do for her daughter. Her husband died in service to this country, and 20 years, a captain in the United States Army, and he died on active duty stateside after a semi ran him over while he was responding to a stranded motorist just trying to help. So here's a guy that had been deployed multiple times. And one of the things that happened to me was while we were getting shelled and we're in the fight of our lives, people would say, Kevin, if I die, please take care of my family. And I never had to make good on that, but I would always say yes. And I also tell them, shut up, we're going to make it. You know, that's the NCO in me. But then here comes Amber, and she says, you know, you were referred to me by Julie Vinage. Her son is tattooed on my arm twice, once with the 10-year anniversary, 2010, so 2020, I got 25 names tattooed on my forearm, and then I got Philip Vinage tattooed on my bicep. But that's a story for another time. Kevin, I lost my husband, and Caden is struggling, and I don't know what to do. And I said, how about I just work on a dog for you? What? Well, I wasn't expecting that. I mean, don't you have a, but I got plenty of things going on. But this was the highlight of my career. And this is why I said, if I've got the time and the resources and the means, I will help anybody. Like I said, you don't have to go to war to experience one. This little girl lost her dad. And I'm a father. I'm a father of a daughter, okay? So the bottom line is this. We worked our butts off. We fundraised, we got involved, and we delivered a beautiful black German Shepherd to this girl. And when I first met Caden, she would not look at me, wouldn't give me a hug, and I'm a hugger. I'm telling you, I'm a hugger. When she got that dog delivered to her, she got out of her vehicle with her mom. She came running up to me, and she gave me the biggest hug I've ever received. Now, second only to probably Isabel. I felt like I made good on that promise. Kevin, if I die, will you take care of my family? And then I contacted Amber and said, you know what? I got this other dog that I want to now give to you. So, yeah, that family got two dogs from me. I shouldn't say from me. She received two dogs from Warhawk Nation, courtesy of Warhawk PTSD Service Dogs. And that family has been made whole as much as we can in the absence of the father and husband. And so to Captain Edom, I love you, brother. I never met you, but I know you. I know you. And, yeah, that's what it's all about. That's the highlight of my career. I could die tomorrow in a plane crash or car accident, and my life is full. And I know that my wife and my daughter will carry on my legacy. But until then, as long as I have air in my lungs, I'm going to push forward. We have two choices in life when hit with adversity. You either push through or you fold. And I'm not the folding kind. I like to go all in with a terrible hand and bluff people out of the way. But that's besides the point. Texas, no limit hold'em. What can I say? There's another terrible joke. But I promise you this, I'm a fighter. I'm a warrior. I know war. I know war in combat, and I know war here at home. We've got to bring these people home, and that's what I want to do. I need the community to get behind us. And if you don't like us, then find one that's just like us and help them too. But that's what I want to do.
Well, I want to thank you so much for being on the show tonight. I really appreciate what you're doing. I didn't do this, but reacclimating, you know, another thing I wasn't familiar with, and I, like I say, I grew up with two uncles actually in Vietnam, but one closer, 10 years difference. Our birthdays are almost alike. And so I spent the night at my Nan and Grandpa's house when I was 8, when he was 18, and got drafted and went to Nam. And it's, forgot what I was going to say. That happens here. It's so important.
Look,
to reacclimate. What I was going to say about your battles is that I had never heard of people deploying 3, 4, 5, 6 times, and I thought more than once, I don't know how somebody does, I mean, a situation that the human psyche was never meant to absorb. You know, we don't come with a shock absorber for seeing the kind of things.
And we just
want
to go back. We just want to go back because that's what we know. And yeah, this is America's forever war that finally ended, and it's tough. It's tough, and we don't know how to be here, moved on. And when we came back, we felt left behind. And it's a challenge, and so all we know is war, and we want to go back to it. I'm fortunate because I've taken that mentality of war, and I've repurposed it, and I found a mission. So if you're out there struggling and you want to go back to war, help me in this war. We got to keep these folks alive. I need your help.
Repurpose and find a mission.
That's
very
right.
Important. Thank you so much, Kevin. Good night, and God bless you for all that you're doing. I'm sure that you'll be getting some help out of being here, and this show will go from live to on demand on the same link within the next hour. But happy Father's Day to you, and thank your wife also sincerely, both of you, for your sacrifice and service and for what you're continuing to do to help people going through the same thing that you are. And that's what brings us together, is the similarities and the reaching out, not the differences. So I've really enjoyed having you here tonight. Thank you.
Likewise. Thank you, Kim. Sure do love you.
Love you back. Good night, and God bless. Okay, everybody, that was Kevin Warhawk Doncaster. Make sure to check out warhawkptsdservicedogs.org. And I am going to close with Dave Bray. You can find him at Dave Bray USA with Warrior. See you next week.
Man, with all that I have.